Good morning. Woman's Hour first discussed the issue of equal pay in 1946. A royal commission concluded that women in general have only themselves to support and not a family, so didn't deserve to be paid the same as a man. Women still earn, on average, 14% less than men. And there are some, like Diana Fercott-Roth, who talked to me on Monday, who believe that there are still circumstances where it's perfectly proper for a woman to be paid less, depending on what choices she makes.
If you read English in university, you have a different set of choices than if you read math. If you take time out to have children, as my sister-in-law Sue Gessler did, a clinical psychologist, she became an NHS consultant at 45, which is 10 years later than many men. But that's because she took two periods of 4 years out to be with her children. So her earnings are now less than those who became consultants at 35, and one could say that that's a pay gap. But she made the choice to take those two periods of 4 years out. Would it be fair to pay her the same as someone who sacrificed and didn't have children and just worked full-time the whole time? I would say no.
So is having a child a lifestyle choice, and if you're paid less for taking time off or going part-time, that's your problem. Do women opt for lower-paid caring jobs such as nursing or teaching because they're less interested in the money than men? Are those jobs low-paid because they're done primarily by women? And is it simply a scandal that women are still poor? And if you have a question, I'm joined by Joanna Wade, who's a solicitor who specialises in discrimination cases. Let's go to our first caller, who's in Dundee in Scotland, Dr. Elizabeth Dick. Good morning.
Hello.
What's your point?
Well, I think I was probably the first successful equal opportunities case, and it was about part-timers who at that time were regarded as expendable because there were only women wanting pin money, and luckily we won it. It didn't do me much good on the grounds that, you know, part-timers shouldn't be treated like that, and they are treated better now. But coming to the present, my feeling now is that the problem at the moment is not so much the workplace as the home, because the assumption still seems to be women are the homemakers and carers of children and men are the breadwinners. And this seems to me that it's unfair to fathers, it's unfair to women in the workplace, and it's unfair to employers. Until we get more equal laws for parental leave, paternity leave, and the recognition that fathers can make a proper contribution as a parent, I think we're not going to make much progress in the workplace.
Joanna, how important is that to contribute towards this whole discussion?
Well, indeed, it's very important because Elizabeth's quite right that at the moment the law is very much focused on giving mothers time off rather than fathers. But things are changing. There is now the right to take 13 weeks unpaid parental leave, which is available to fathers, 2 weeks paternity leave around the time of the birth. But it's just been announced that there are some changes in the pipeline which are going to allow men and women to choose between them, that the father takes the second 6 months of maternity leave off rather than the mother, and will be paid, albeit in a limited way, for that second 6 months. So ahead of us are a real prospect that there is going to be an opportunity for mothers and fathers to share equally the maternity leave for their children.
Elizabeth, you did say it didn't do you much good. What did you mean by that?
Well, it really meant that at that time the compensation for discrimination cases was, I think, £15. I mean, it's now possibly gone over the top in the other way. There was then a question of, you know, me being taken, said that I... being discriminated against because I had spoken out. So though they ordered me to get my job back, I didn't actually get it back.
That's been a problem, hasn't it, Joanna? I mean, sometimes these victories are Pyrrhic victories because women who take cases get a reputation.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, the law does provide specific protection. It's called victimisation for people who make discrimination claims or complaints even, and suffer as a result. But obviously there are problems proving that.
Yes. Elizabeth, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning and starting us off.